angels today. And we just thank you that you're in our presence right now. Father, just ask that you continue to use our service to your glory and honor, and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as only you can, through your blessed Holy Spirit. And we just give you all the thanks in advance for all that you're going to do today through us and in us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 In
Jesus' name, amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians. We are in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Okay? So, well, we've been studying this book for a while, and hopefully you kind of remember the first part by now. We've gone over it several times, but just as a refresher, reminder, when we come to this portion, it's good to put it in the context of what we've already looked at. And if you remember, what we found out about Galatians is that this is a book full of passion, okay? This is Paul's most, if you want to use the term animated, I guess. I mean, he's pronouncing curses, and he's saying, you know, if you're preaching a gospel other than the gospel that's here, let you be accursed. Paul would have nothing to do with these people. He was passionate about this. And he's so passionate, he didn't even bother with the pleasantries. He just went right to the argument. He went right in there and said, this is the gospel I preached. It's about grace, and here's the thing you need to know about it. And if you can't believe that you're walking away from this so quickly. And then he went on, he explained how he received the gospel that he preached to the Galatians, that he presented to them in the beginning. And he explained that, first of all, it came from revelation. All right, that God spoke to him in revelation and showed him the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message. Remember, Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus in a very real and vivid way. And we have that recorded in the book of Acts. We know that he took time, went off to the side so that Christ could teach him and help educate him about the ministry he had and about the impact of Christ's death upon the cross. Okay? So Paul had that revelation, and he says that he kind of got it a little verified, but then, and if you remember your history about Paul, he went off to Tarsus and some other places, kind of hung out just out of the limelight for a while, but then Barnabas went and got him and took him to Antioch, and that's where his real ministry started, and they taught about it. And there was a question that came up while Paul was teaching in Antioch, and so about this gospel message. And remember, what happened was even in Antioch, the Judaizers, what have been termed, what we call today, the Judaizers, they didn't have that name at the time, but they were called Judaizers, or we've called them, and they came and they spoke they were trying to tell the Christian believers, the new converts, the ones that were Gentiles, that not only did they have to receive Christ in their life, but if they really wanted God's blessing, they really wanted salvation, they had to conform to the law. They had to do the things that the law of Moses required of them. In other words, they were going to be subjected once again to the law that Christ freed them from. And Paul and Barnabas and some others, they went down to Jerusalem and they met with a council there. And one of the things that they walked away with was that there was no condemnation, okay? They said the Gentiles were not required to do anything further. They had received the grace of God. They received his Holy Spirit. That was the evidence of God's work in their lives. So they went back and they preached this. And Paul reminded them of all of this history up through chapter 3, whenever we started here just recent last week. And he reminded them of that journey and the process of getting the gospel verified and how Paul had it authenticated or endorsed, if you want to use that word, by the apostle, by the church leadership, okay? That the gospel of Christ was one of grace, okay? It was forgiveness, not that you could earn, not that you could work your way and earn it, but that it was something that God gives. It's his free gift. Grace is frequently defined as God's unmerited favor. In other words, you can't earn the favor of God. But he gives us his grace out of his choice because of who he is, not because of what we have done. So we found that. And last week we started, and Paul, in chapter 3, we started chapter 3. We looked at the first six verses in chapter 3. And Paul right there was appealing to their experience. He says, remember what he says? Are you so foolish to think that what you began in the Spirit, you can finish in the flesh? Remember what he says. How did you start this? Did you receive the Spirit by works? This is what he's appealing to their experience. So now Paul is telling about, look at this. In the first couple of chapters, he's talking about revelation and the authentication of the gospel through revelation. God revealed this. He's talking about, in beginning of chapter 3, he talked about experience, okay? He talked about your experience in receiving the Holy Spirit. How did you come into favor, into right relationship with God? Was it by works or was it by God's grace? By believing, okay? So he did that and he spoke to experience. Now he's going to take a step further in these verses that we're going to look, and actually through pretty much the rest of the book of Galatians, he's going to talk about the doctrine, okay? He's going to talk. Now, I want you to know, as a young preacher in seminary, one of the things they told you, never, 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 never do, is you don't preach doctrine from the pulpit. You don't do that. Doctrine, you teach it somewhere else. Guys, there's no way to avoid it. If I'm going to preach the Bible, I've got to preach the doctrine that's there, okay? So you're going to get it today. So get the toothpicks out. Pry those eyelids open, okay? But actually, you know, I have to tell you this. Before we start, and we are going to start, believe it or not. We're going to get there. We're going to start. I want you to know that as I approach this passage, I'm just so humbled in it, okay? I'm overwhelmed. There was a seminary professor, a doctorate. He had his doctorate, and he was an instructor in Greek, okay? And for his studies, his life studies, he picked out one preposition in the Greek language to do his work on and spend his life investigating that meaning. Now, don't ask me which preposition it is, because I forgot that a long time ago. But he studied this one word. And at the end of his life, you know, towards the end of his life, he was in an interview and somebody asked him how he felt about his life's work. And he said that he felt he was overwhelmed because there was so much to study, and he wished he would have narrowed his field down, okay? One preposition in Greek, and he wanted it to be more narrow. And think about that for just a second, because when I come to this passage, I'm sitting here, God, there is so much in this passage. There's so much meat in what Paul is stating, and he's pulling from so many places and so many sources. It is too packed to how can I express this? And I'm humbled. I'm sitting here and saying, how can I communicate with you what Paul's thoughts are? And these great doctrines, and they're from the beginning of the Bible all the way through the end. And how can I communicate this to you in the short 30 minutes that we have? Okay, sometimes I go longer, 40 minutes, okay? But the point is how can I get this message to you? And I'm struggling, and I don't know if I can. Maybe we'll preach the same passage next week. I don't know. But right now, I'm going to try, and I want you to begin looking in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, I know that some of you are going to say, Curtis, you preached on verse 6 last week. That was last week's sermon. Okay, all right. You remember I've told you that in your Greek text, in the original Greek, there weren't periods, there weren't punctuation marks, there's none of that. There's not even the paragraph. And I told you guys how they decided how to put the verses and the paragraphs right. that there was a priest that got in a stagecoach or one of those coaches one day and went down a bumpy road, and every time his pen hit the page, that was a verse mark, or if it went, you know, that was a chapter mark. So what I want you to understand is the paragraphs that you have in your Bibles, and the verse breaks up. Some of them indicate paragraphs and stuff, and I find it interesting. I have several versions of the NIV Bible, okay? They've come out with a new edition, and I have that, and I have the old edition, one they first came back with that back when I graduated from high school or from college. And they had this, and you know what? They're different. One version puts a paragraph break at verse 5. The other one at verse 6. The other one at verse 7. Okay? So take your pick. The point is I'm making here is that some commentators, and that's what you have to understand. Every time somebody edits the Bible, gives us an English translation, they're a commentator. They're telling you how they perceive that the Greek is the meaning of behind the Greek. And some of them take that and they put verse 6 with the first 6 verses, okay? And some of them take put that verse 6 as the beginning of 6, 7, and the following verses, okay? So I don't know which translation you have, but I'm cheating because I preached on it last week because I thought it was a great conclusion to last week's message, looking at the first verses 1 through 6, but I think it's a wonderful introduction to the following verses, okay? So it fits both. So we're using it both places. I'm cheating, okay? I could do that, can't I? All right. Theodore said I could, so I got permission, okay? So here we go. So in verse 6, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. And he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Father, I pray that as we spend this time together, as we begin to look at your word, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will come, that he'll guide each of our hearts, and he'll open our hearts up that we can hear your word and come to an understanding of what you want us to know. I pray, God, that we might see, all that Paul had the passion to write about, and why he chose these verses, and how they fit together, and the message that they teach us about our relationship with you. And I pray, God, that we might walk out of this place with the determination to be children of the blessing, to receive your blessing of faith. In Christ's name, amen. Now, here's what you need to understand. The Judaizers came, and what did the Judaizers teach? They teach you have to get saved not only through Jesus Christ, but through the works of law. You need to conform your life. You need to follow. You need to do all the requirements of the law, such as circumcision, such as the dietary restrictions, such as, you know, the Sabbath, observance of the Sabbath, and all the things that the law requires. You need to do those things also, okay? Then you can be saved. Then you can have a relationship with God when you're doing all those things. And they were teaching a great dependence upon the law. And remember where the law came from. Originally, Moses, right? All right. So the Judaizers were appealing and saying to the Gentile believers in Galatia, you need to follow the law in order to be saved. Paul comes along, he says, well, you know, that's not what I taught you. That wasn't the revelation I had. That wasn't what was authorized. He says, and here's the thing. They're looking to Moses. Well, let me do you one better. Let's look at Abraham. And who was Abraham? Abraham was the father of all of them, okay? He was the one they all looked to. And it's important to understand that he was going back. He was kind of playing the trump card, if you want to put it that way. He was playing that card that says, I get the deck. I won the hand, okay? Because he was pulling out. He says, you're looking at the law as it came from Moses. Well, let's go back to the very beginning of this, and let's find out how it all started and how this blessing business began. They were saying, you want to get blessed by God, you got to follow the law. Paul saying, no, that you choose to follow the law, you're going to be under the curse. And this is how he does it. So he says, he points out first to Abraham in verse 6. He says, Abraham, how did he get to be called righteous? He was called righteous because he believed God. He believed God. An act of faith, okay? And this is what you have to understand. Not in the Old Testament as well as the New, in the Bible, the concept of belief is not just an intellectual asset or assent, okay? It's not just an intellectual thing where you nod your head and say, okay, I agree with that. It demands a lifestyle. It demands action to be put with that. Abraham showed that he believed God when he stepped out and followed him to the Ur of the, from the Ur of the Chaldees, okay? When he stepped out in faith, when Abraham did those things that showed that he believed God, whenever he believed God about receiving a descendant, a son in his old age, that was credited to him as righteousness. It was the action of faith. Whenever he actually changed his life based upon the fact that he was obeying God. Now, he wasn't doing those things in order to gain favor, okay? He believed God, he acted, and God granted favor, the righteousness, because of the way he acted. Well, because of his belief demonstrated through his actions. Little different than what they're saying, what the Judaizers were saying. They were saying, do the works, and then God will be happy with you. Doesn't matter whether you believe God or not, just do the works, okay? And that's the difference here. Abraham believed. He had that relationship. So he begins by saying, Abraham believed God. And he says then, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. The Judaizers were saying, you want to be a child of Abraham? Do the works. Okay? Paul came and says, no, to be a true child of God, to be a true descendant of Abraham, it's not about the works, but it's about what distinguished Abraham. It's about believing God. It's about faith. It's about a relationship with God. It's believing him and changing the way you live because you believe that he is who he is. Okay? Notice that there's a difference. They were trying to claim you could become a child by doing these works. Paul says, no, that's not it. You become a child through faith. And this is such an interesting concept here. In verse 8, he says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now, think about that. What is the Scripture? The written word. In fact, the term there, the Greek term is graphe, which is writings, okay? And some of your translations even say holy writings. The holy writings. And they foresaw? Wait. I don't understand that. How does a book see something? It's an inanimate object. How does it doesn't have life? No. What he's talking about is the Scriptures is given by God. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We've talked about this before, but I want to reiterate it because this is so important in your Christian faith. You have to understand this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes there, as he's writing to Timothy, he says, and it's in a greater context talking about the word, but here he says, all scripture is God-breathed. Okay, NIV says God-breathed. A few other translations, Amplified and some others, say God-breathed. Most of yours say inspired by God, right? No, here it is. It's God-breathed. The Greek word there is a combination of two Greek words. Theo is at the beginning, which is the word for God, okay? God, and pronunciation is going to be way off, but pneumo, okay? Pneumo, which is the word, we get our words for pneumonia or the lungs, okay? The pulmonary system. It's where we get that idea of breathing, okay? And literally translated, all scripture is God breathed. So what Paul is saying here, and he goes on, he says, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, it's good. All the scripture that's there, it helps us do these things. But he's saying here, and when you take that idea, he's talking about the scripture here now in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Galatians. He says that scripture foresaw. In other words, God, the living God, as he breathed the scripture, as he inspired those authors that were already long gone and dead, and the ones who wrote down the scripture years ago, and when God breathed that word and spoke to Abraham about the blessing that he was going to give to the world, through Adam, or through Abraham, because he believed God, when God spoke those words, God was already in the process of bringing about the blessing to the Gentiles. That's how he says it foreknew it. It foreshadowed it because it was telling what God was about to do thousands of years later as he worked this out. Now, there are a couple ways that people understand this passage. It says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. And it says here, all nations will be blessed through you. That was the word that God gave to Abraham. All nations are going to be blessed through you, he says. Now, some people believe that that has to refer to the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, okay? That over time, the Israelites, we're going to be the blessing to the people. And I think in many ways God intended that. God intended for the people of Israel to go out and tell the message about their relationship with God, about how Abraham had illustrated this faith relationship. I think maybe that's what God wanted, okay? And some people believe. And here's the other thing. You have to understand, we do know that through the Israelites, through that Hebrew nation, we learned about a monotheistic relationship with God, that there's one God. There is one God, and he is to be worshipped. We learned about that through them as they introduced their concept of God to the world. We also know that they were the keepers of the scripture that revealed to us God and his work. So in many ways, they have been a blessing, and so that is fulfilled. There are some that think that blessing was through the seed of Jesus Christ, which certainly that is true. Okay? Certainly it is. And even Paul here talks about how Christ fulfilled that and brought about that blessing. But there's another way of looking at this in the sense that Abraham was the first of faith that was declared righteous in that sense. Okay? He acted in faith and he was declared righteous. He was blessed by God. He was the first that taught the rest of us, that showed as an example, a light, a beacon, to be there showing us the work of God and showing us that we could have a relationship with God through faith. And I think that's one of the meanings that Paul has here, that not only did God bless us and through the lineage of Abraham by sending Christ, but he blessed us by being that illustration of what it means to have a faith relationship with God. And through Abraham and his example, the rest of us can experience the blessing of God. Now, this is the way God, and Paul is taking the scripture and allowing God to speak to us. One of the things I want you guys to step back about and think about, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles. It talks about how we have a living God, one who didn't just create the world, set it spinning, and walk off and leave us out here to fend for ourselves. A lot of people believe that about God. This says that God was actively involved in our lives, so much so that as he spoke the words thousands of years prior, He was speaking of the blessings that would come into our lives, okay? And we weren't even thought of yet, okay? We weren't even that glimmer in somebody's eye yet. Do you realize what that tells you about the Word of God? Do you realize what it tells you that God speaks to us today through this same Word? In that living relationship with God, in that living faith-based relationship with God, He can speak to our hearts and reveal Himself to us. He can reveal who He is to each of us. So many of you know that my wife had lymphoma cancer many years ago. Technically, I guess they say that she still does, but it's in remission. And when we discovered this and found this out years ago, it's kind of a shock in your life. You know, we had two young kids at the time, and we were struggling, as all couples do. And God came at that time, and He spoke to us through a verse in the Bible. It was Isaiah 41:10. You guys have heard this. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And God took that verse and spoke it to our hearts in a very real way. And it brought comfort as well as strength for us and how we were to live. And I want you to understand that God today, because He is alive, because His word is God-breathed, it's inspired, it's more than inspired, it has His very character in it. Because it is God-breathed, He can take that same word and speak to each of your hearts today and reveal Himself to you. And this is what Paul said God did in the Scripture. He revealed Himself to the Galatians back then and showed them that it was an act of faith to follow God in the same way that Abraham did, and they would receive the blessing. He said, in verse 9, though, he goes on, he says, "So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So he's saying that those who choose to walk in faith receive that same blessing credited to them as righteousness because of their relationship with God based upon faith. So important here, he's identifying who the true children of blessing are. The Jews thought simply because of their biological descendancy, they had the blessing of God. And Paul stood in front of them and said, "No, that blessing doesn't belong to you because of your genetics. It belongs to you because of faith." Do you get that? This is the dynamic battle, and Paul is laying out this doctrine. This is a doctrine of Scripture, okay? This isn't just his rambling. He's laying out the case and building this so that you can logically argue this statement. Remember in geometry? Did you guys take geometry, some of you? Some of you shaking your heads. Some of you say, "Oh, I wish I didn't." Yeah, yeah. I remember geometry, okay? And you remember how it goes. A equals B. B equals C, therefore A equals C, right? It taught you the simple steps of logic, right? And how to put things together. That is what Paul is doing here. He's taking those simple steps of logic. Abraham was granted righteous status because of his faith. You show the same faith, you also receive that righteous status and become a son of Abraham. A child, a true descendant of Abraham. Okay? So that's what he's done. He's made those logical steps at this point. Then he goes on in verse 7. Okay, and the whole picture changes now. Okay? He was talking about being a child of blessing. Now he's going to talk about being a child of curse. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse." Whoa! We go from blessing now to he's talking about the curse. It is, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You notice how easy it is to pick out the passages of the Bible you like? You notice how easy it is? Oh, this one talks about how God loves me. Isn't that so wonderful? We don't like passages like this that tell us that we're cursed, right? But that's what he's done. And God said this back when Moses wrote the law. When Moses sat down and wrote this, he wanted them to understand this. And why? Why did it have that provision in the law? Because none of us can keep the law. And Moses, even then, God was very much making it aware that you don't gain favor with God through the law. The law is there to show us how to live, but it's also there to show us that we can't live the way that God wants us to. That we are going to, as Paul says later, fall short of the glory of God. We are going to fall short. We cannot measure up to the standard of the law. And the consequence of that is what Paul says, the wages of that sin is death. So he's making it very clear here that if you rely upon the law for that, pointing to the Judaizers who've come and said, you got to follow the law, he's making it, pointing it out to them that they are under a curse. Now, I'm going to skip the verses in the middle, kind of come back to them. But I want you to go down because these carrying the same thought. These verses are, I don't know what the right way, but it sets up a kind of a back and forth. But if you skip down to verse 13, see, under the law, we're cursed. But look what it says in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from that curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And he points out, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole, or some of your translations say a tree, okay? Talking about the cross. Whenever he died upon that cross, he became the curse. You see, under the law, Paul is arguing, under the law, we are all cursed. But because Christ didn't deserve to be cursed, he received that curse for you and me. He took it in his place. In other words, you're in a firing squad. You deserve to die. You're here. The guns are pointed at you. And Christ steps in, and he's taking the bullet for you. He stands in your place, and he says, I will take the curse. I will take the punishment. Christ became the curse so I could be a child of blessing. And this is what he goes back and does. So in verse 13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse. The first, verse 10 said, we are under the curse. But verse 13, Christ redeemed us from that. So now let's go back and look at verse 11. He says, clearly, no one relies on the law is justified before God because what? The righteous will live by faith. Here we are. We're under a curse, but we're living. If we choose to be righteous, we're going to live by faith. Verse 12, but he says, but the law is not based upon faith. So in other words, the law, or on the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. What's he saying there? What do you mean live by them? Well, they're going to live if they choose to follow the law, then that's the path that they're making. They're making a choice to be under the law. And what does it say about living under the law? That you're cursed, right? But the alternative to that is in verse 11, to live by faith. So here you have verse 11 and 12 that are kind of opposed to each other, but you have verse 10 and 13 that are illustrating this issue. Verse 10, okay, Paul is telling us that we're under a curse if we follow the law. Verse 13 says Christ takes that curse. Verse 12 says the person who lives under the law is going to experience that cost. Curse because you're going to live by it. And verse 11 says, but we'll live by faith and we'll receive the righteousness of God. And he sums this up in verse 14. He says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, what was the blessing? The blessing of being called righteous, the blessing that through him all the people of the earth would be blessed by seeing this example of faith. in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. You guys, one of the things you have to understand about the scripture, there's never been any other way to gain salvation in the Bible except through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, before Christ was born, Abraham and all of the others looked forward to Christ upon that cross. They looked forward in a direction. They saw, then they believed that God was going to bring their redemption. They didn't know how. They didn't know the story, but they believed that through believing God and that relationship with God, he would make it right. So here it is, thousands of years later, after Abraham, Christ hangs on a cross, and he becomes the curse, taking the curse that should have belonged to Abraham and all the others, but Christ takes it upon him so that they can have righteousness declared upon them. And you and I, we stand here and we look back at that cross. We look back to the past and we see the work that Christ did on that cross. And so it makes more sense to us in that sense. Well, I hope you understand Paul in this discussion a little better. And every time I get to it, it becomes deeper and richer. And it's something you can spend time in the theology that Paul argues. I've mentioned it to you before, but in Romans, you'll find him expanding upon this in much greater detail and explaining this. But this is the nutshell, and this is what Paul wanted us to understand. It's not just a revelation that I had. I didn't dream this and make it up. It's not something that's just been authenticated by the apostles, and so you can believe the gospel message because of the apostles signing off on it. But it is the doctrine of the Bible that has been from the beginning of time. It has been what God's plan has been since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, sinned in the garden. I have been pursuing you, God wants you to know. I've been seeking out that relationship with you. Now, here's the challenge, guys. Whenever you have a new insight into the character of God, whenever God reveals himself to you in some new way, you're faced with what Henry Blackaby calls a crisis of belief. And he says the thing that you do next determines what you believe about God. Do you get that? When God says, this is who I am, you're left with a choice. Either I'm going to go this way or I'm going to go this way. And you have to make that decision. You can't sit on the fence. We like it, the fence, because it's comfortable there. It's nice not having to make decisions. But you got to decide. And here's what you face today. And I'm sorry that I'm the one who did it. But hopefully I've made it clear to you that from the beginning of time, God has been seeking you to redeem you. He laid it out when he first spoke his word that he wanted a blessing and he wanted you to follow him in faith. So you're left now with a choice. Am I going to continue to earn my salvation by following the law? Am I going to continue to do it my way? Or am I going to act in faith and believe God? You see? You got a choice. God has revealed himself, and you're left with the choice. Either you continue to try to earn that favor with God. And you see, in essence, that's what sin is. You go back, you trace it all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, you see it over and over again, that whenever we decide, say, God, I'm going to do it my way, that I think I know better than you do, God. I think I can get this done in my own strength. God, I think I can get it done. I think I can follow that law. I think I can earn my own salvation. You see, that's following the law. And that is keeps you under the curse. Or you step over here and you say, God, I've never been capable of it. I know that you've made a plan. And it's been your plan all along. I'm trusting you to get me into that relationship with you. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of making a choice to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't know all that it means. I don't know what tomorrow you're going to ask me to do, God. But I'm stepping out today to walk with you in faith. And I choose to have that belief that you are a God of love and a God of passion and a God of compassion who has sought me out and wants to have a relationship with me. You see, that's what it's about. Now, God reaches to each one of us and he tries to draw us to himself. He puts things in our lives that say, hey, wake up, I'm calling you, I'm talking to you, you need to respond. And I don't know what it is, but I believe that today is the time for decisions for some people here today. And I don't know everything that God's doing in your life, I don't know what circumstance, but I'm going to tell you, when you walk out this door, what you choose to do determines what you believe about God and who he is. I'm convinced of that today. Are you going to live in faith or are you going to live under the curse of the law? It's your choice today. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If Lisa could play something on the piano. Bow your heads, close your eyes, please. If you could bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I just want to pray for these people here today. I want to pray, God, that these are my brothers, my sisters. These are my fellow sojourners seeking relationship with you. And I lift them up to you today. I ask, God, that you speak to their hearts. I ask, God, that somehow you help them to know that you're calling to them and that you want them to live in that faith relationship. That you want them to say simply that you want to embrace them and that they're willing to receive that. That they're willing to embrace you and reach out in to embrace you and to walk with you. I ask God that you talk to them now. Help them in whatever the struggle is that they have. I don't give an invitation every week. But today I am. If God is speaking to you today and you need to come forward and you have a decision that you need to make, maybe you need to say, today is the day I am choosing to follow Christ. Today I receive God's love. Today I declare that I'm going to walk in faith relationship with him. Maybe you need to make that declaration today. Maybe you've been sitting on that fence and you've been wondering whether you need to follow God more closely or not. And you haven't been is following him as faithfully as you need to. I want to ask you today, do you have a decision? Is he dealing with you about a subject that you need someone to pray with you about, that you need to decide what you're going to do about your relationship with God? Whatever it is he's saying to you today, if you need someone to pray with you, then I invite you to come. There are altars here. You can come and pray at these altars. If you want me to pray with you, if you want this church to pray with you, come. Now is the time to do it.